20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. It is Paul Breddle Day. It's a little bit later in the week. This is going to air on Friday. We're recording this on Tuesday, full disclosure. But Paul, I'm excited to not only look back a little bit at Packers-Bears, as well as look forward to Packers-Broncos, which has the makings of another really fun game this week. But before we jump into all of that, how are you doing, my friend?
Excellent, Andy. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I'm a terrible host, I should mention as well. You can find him on social media at Paul_Breddle. You can find him on the Wisconsin State Journal as well, where he does an incredible job covering the Packers. So make sure to check that out as soon as you get a chance. Paul, let's start with the Chicago Bears. Per usual, I will give you the floor. And what were some of your kind of key takeaways from that game?
Yeah, and I know you've obviously by this point in the week, right, you've covered that game inside and out. So I'll kind of just take a step back. And I remember couple weeks ago now, right, the big article I'd written going into that Vikings game was this critical stretch of games that the Packers had ahead of them. Like, and I don't think it's hyperbole to say that these last three games were, you know, season defining, right, to an extent, in at least putting the Packers in a position of, all right, what is their playoff path going to look like, and where are they going to be positioned? And as we know, they ended up going 3-0 during that stretch. They're the 2 seed. They currently hold the lead in the NFC North. But I think on the flip side of that, there's still a lot of football left. Like, it feels to me like we're coming to the, you know, we can see the playoffs on the horizon, right? Everyone's running their playoff simulators, see what are the odds of this seed, that seed, division, all that stuff. There's still a month left in the season. And I think that that was a big part of the messaging coming off of the win on Sunday, right? Like, everybody on that Packers team knows that Sunday's game, the past Sunday against Chicago, was a really important win. Everybody on that Packers team knows that there's still 4 games of football left that can have a major impact on what the Packers' playoff path might look like. I mean, look at how much can change over a month in the NFL. Yep. I mean, a month ago, the Packers were 5-3-1 and had lost 2 games in a row. A month later, again, like I said, 2 seed leading the North, and they've just won 4 games in a row. So there is still a critical stretch of games upcoming for them. But, and I talk about this a lot, playing your best football at the right time. It feels like that group is, that's what they're doing right now. Like, this is a team that's continuing to ascend, and especially on that offensive side of the football. Feels like the offensive line, still improvements that have to come from that unit. Yep. But feels like that group is starting to gel. Jordan Love, the passing game, playing at a high level. The running game, again, I think there's more area, more room for growth for that group. But we're starting to see more consistency from that group. And that's what you want. You want to be playing your best football at the end of the season. Again, there's still a month left before we get to the end of the season. But the Packers seem to be right now on that trajectory.
No, while you were going through that, sorry, my eye contact is probably poor, but I wanted to go through something because I think you mentioned that 3-game stretch of games, obviously within the division, and how important that group of games was going to be. And to me, we remember going over that the Giants game, and the Giants game was just chock full of Packers mistakes in that one. It just felt like it was mistake after mistake. And we've seen Green Bay, when they've struggled this year, has basically been beating themselves. I was just looking through in the last 3 games, at least charted by PFF, in these NFC North games, 1 drop between the 3 games. They have 11 penalties in 3 games, and a lot of 6 of them were in this past game. There were maybe a couple questionable ones and whatnot, but 11 total penalties, which is just under 4 penalties per game, which is a pretty reasonable rate to be at. And only the Jordan Love turnover early in this game is the only turnover in these last 3 games. So you went from a Giants game, and thankfully they still found a way to win that, that had about 3 or 4 weeks worth of self-inflicted wounds and errors and mistakes just in that one game. And now through the last 3 weeks, they played a much cleaner, better brand of football that didn't have the drops, didn't have the turnovers, didn't have the penalties and the mistakes. And you just see how potent this team is when they stay out of their own damn way. And to me, that is a huge through line for what's happened over the course of the past 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think that's a great points to bring up. Is just it's cleaner football all around, right? And capitalizing on the opportunities on both sides of the ball that have come their way. And again, they're in a really, really good position right now. But there's still, you know, that Bears, that upcoming Bears game, like that is still, that's almost going to be like the one that just happened, right? Like you, everyone went into that game, right? For the North, this is a really important one. It feels like regardless of what happens in week 15 for the Bears or for the Packers, like going into week 16 against Chicago, it's going to be that same type of game where, all right, this is probably, you know, whoever wins this game is going to have the control of the NFC North going into those final stretch of the season. So again, they've done a really good job over this last month, again, trending in the right direction, putting themselves in the position that they're in, you know, in the mix for the one seed currently, all of that, but still several games left to really cement themselves because this is such a competitive conference this year. I mean, the Packers went from the 6th seed to the 2 seed. Bears went from 1 to 7. I mean, it is so, the standings are so volatile, highly contested, that there's a lot that can still happen.
Very much so. And like you said, the division is very much in flux in that game and what happens. And, you know, Green Bay winning that one goes a long way in solidifying the division. But more importantly, like Chicago, I'm assuming they're going to beat the Browns this week. Although, as we know very, very well, you can't take anything for granted, even against Cleveland. But assuming that happens, the Bears still are going to need wins because their final couple games are against us, San Francisco, and then in the final week, they have Detroit. It's not going to, in Detroit, Chicago could easily be a game for who gets in the playoffs in that final number 7 seed too. And which, by the way, could be winner faces Green Bay as the number 2 seed. There's just so many different ways that this could go. But yeah, Chicago is going to be in a situation, I think, either way, that they need to win that game. And Green Bay clearly still going to have to win regardless of what happens against Denver this week as well. So I'm ready for it. I can't wait for the you know, the first game was so good. I can't wait for the second one. Being in Chicago should make it even tighter. And I think it's going to have another big fight feel to it. And I'm all set for it. You mentioned the solidification of the offensive line. I had that on my notes today as well. Is it does feel, well, not perfect yet, it feels like they found their five. It feels like this group of linemen is starting to gel together. For me personally, I had a lower grade on Rashid Walker, but all of the four other ones, I guess Belton had a slight negative, but I'm just going to say I liked how he played in this one, even though it was maybe a slight negative. I enjoyed the way he played, and this was a really big step for him to show me kind of proof of concept of what he can be at that position. I just think overall you're seeing a higher level of play in an offensive line that I think now is capable of helping you win in playoff games, where earlier in this year, I'm like, this is potentially going to be their Achilles heel.
Yeah, I'll focus on the interior. So last week I asked Matt about just Sean Ryan, right? He's got several games under his belt at center, just what he's seeing. And, you know, again, there's always things to clean up, but he sees someone who's getting more comfortable in playing that center position, the communication that comes with it beforehand, the calls, the adjustments, all of that. And then at left guard, Aaron Banks, I mean, through that first half of the season, he was dealing with just various injuries, and he also missed time during training camp as well. So again, he's a veteran, right? Those players you expect to, even with missed time, hit the ground running, but it's still a new offensive system for him, right? They're still being in and out of the lineup that he had to navigate in early going. But over the last, again, 4, 5, 6 weeks, whatever it's been, he's been in the lineup, been able to stay on the field, and both LaFleur and Stenovich think that they're seeing a lot more steady play from him. And then Belton at right guard stepping in. I mean, there's anytime there's a young player, right, first-year player getting his first extended look, there's going to be things to clean up. But it's easy to tell that in talking with the coach and staff, they absolutely love the physicality that he brings and the size that he brings to the position. And I wrote about this a week ago leading up into the Bears game, just about hit Belton coming off his first start during that Detroit game. And again, was very critical of himself, right? There's technique, things like that have to be cleaned up, ways that he can better use his size and length to his advantage. But I think that there was a lot to like from that as well. And I think what speaks to that is for a team that so heavily rotates offensive linemen and will put guys in and out of lineup at the drop of a hat, he has started now 2 consecutive games. He has played every snap throughout those two games. And again, for a team that rotates guys as often as the Packers do, I think that speaks volumes to what they're seeing from him, what he's bringing. And when you have Belton, Ryan, Banks along your interior, and when those three can operate in unison and are playing at a high level, like, they have people movers on the inside of that interior offensive line. And that's what this, you know, obviously goes without saying, but that's what this run game needs more of to get going, right? We know what Josh Jacobs can do. I mean, goodness, that 21-yard run against the
crazy
against the Chicago Bears, watching that unfold from the press box, it looked like there was absolutely nothing there for him. And I think
it did look like there was absolutely nothing there for him.
And I think in part it was, and LaFleur talked about this on Monday, it was a credit. I think it was more so a credit to the Bears and how they defended it versus something that the Packers had done wrong. But Josh Jacobs' ability to just make a play happen, right? So if the Packers can consistently give him those running lanes, we all know what Josh Jacobs is capable of. And the play of that interior, the way that that group's trending, I think hopefully there's going to be more of those opportunities for that group moving forward.
Early for actually the vast majority of the season, just again, for my grades, I had Zach Tom graded in the positive and everybody else was graded in the negative. And now I actually, Sean Ryan and Aaron Banks are in the positive. Aaron Banks has quietly been playing some really good football as of late. Sean Ryan, to me, shockingly somehow, I think has actually been an upgrade at center for Elgton Jenkins, something I would not have expected at all going into this season. And again, Belton has solidified that right guard spot and I think has been an upgrade from Jordan Morgan at that spot. And all of a sudden you went from, again, Banks being banged up and not playing quite well. His play is elevated and center and right guard have gotten better. Zach Tom's still playing good football. Slink Sheed again is a little bit shaky at left tackle, but I just like that they're gelling. They're playing the same group every week and you can see them as a group collectively getting better. We hear from offensive line and offensive line coaches all the time of how that consistency is. So I remember asking Brian Bulaga in the locker room back in the day, because I think they were, I don't know if that was when they were rotating like John Runyon Jr. and Sean Ryan. I don't remember. Maybe it was even before that. Maybe it was Lane Taylor. Regardless, I asked him about it and he said, yeah, you know, you get to know that, you know, they have that camaraderie and, you know, just that nuance of knowing what the person next to you is going to be doing. And when it's somebody new consistently, it's tough to get that. And right now it feels like they're playing better off of each other, playing better individually. And to me, there's no more important thing for what could have happened this season than that offensive line playing better. We'll be right back. Hey friends, today's show is brought to you by Prize Picks. It's the holiday season, the best time of the year for sports, because right now we have bowl games, marquee basketball matchups, playoff pushes, and it's all happening right now, all at once. And while you and I are out making decisions every single day, like which gifts to buy, what to get for dinner, which game to watch, there's only one place where it feels good to be right, and that's Prize Picks. And I love how simple Prize Picks is to use, and more importantly, how fun it is to play. This football season's been even more fun with Prize Picks, and getting my picks in for each slate of games has been a super fun part of my football experience. Oh, and guess what? Prize Picks has a brand new feature, early payouts. If your lineup gets off to a hot start, you may now have the option to cash out those winnings before the game even finishes. So join the millions of users and sign up for America's number one fantasy sports app. This week, I'm going with Jaden Reed against Denver as Green Bay tries to retain its hold on the number one seed in the NFC North. I'm also going to make some picks on Christian McCaffrey, Jalen Warren, and Derrick Henry. Now it's time for you to get in on the action as well. Download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. So we all know a chef, a griller, a cooking hobbyist, or a stay-at-home parent who just enjoys making really good food for their family. I have a couple in my family and have seen them light up when they get that perfect ingredient, a piece of cookware, or a new grilling accessory as a present. I know because I love cooking and recently received some Omaha steaks and I was beyond overjoyed. This holiday season, you can give the gift of USDA certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, cozy and convenient comfort meals, and so much more with Omaha Steaks. When I got my Omaha Steaks, I fired up the grill immediately and I couldn't wait to taste the grass-fed, grain-finished steaks that showed incredible marbling. It was the perfect gift and the flavor ended up being unbelievable. Now, Omaha Steaks delivers an exclusive lineup of USDA-certified tender steaks and their fan favorite filet mignons have achieved the distinction of USDA certified very tender. And of course, they also carry mouthwatering burgers, chicken, pork, seafood, and delectable desserts. So right now, save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code PACKADAY at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com using code PACKADAY.
Yeah, that continuity aspect is so important. And, you know, it feels... because the Packers have had so much success, right, rotating guys in and out, that it does seem to downplay that element. But to your point, it's critical because there's so many different looks that these linemen are experiencing, right, with how the defense defends them. Stunts, twists, blitzes, simulated, like there's so much thrown at them. And when there's all that chaos and confusion up front, you have to just operate within what your specific responsibility is on that play, right? Whether it's a player, a gap, whatever it might be. And when there's all this confusion, chaos going on, you have to know how the linemen to your right and left are going to respond in those situations. Because while what you don't want to do is overextend yourself, you can have the best intentions ever of, oh, I'm going to go over here and help. But oftentimes that's when a lot of miscues happen, because now your own responsibility has been, you know, is lacking, because you're trying to overcompensate and do much. And at the root of all that is trust. It's knowing what the player next to you is going to do. And to your point, this continuity that they've had over the last few weeks, I feel like they're really developing that. And then you're seeing it in the play as well.
And especially with all of this in the background is a new center that's only been playing the position full time for a few weeks, which there's a lot of communication that goes into that as well. I think for the most part, they've handled it well. We'll get a better indication in what I think is going to be a very tough environment against a very good defensive front in Denver this week. And we'll know very, very quick if they're up to the task for playoff level football, especially in a playoff type road atmosphere this week against Denver. A couple other plays I wanted to ask you about before we get into Packers Broncos. My Luigi's Pizza player of the game for this past game was Christian Watson. By the way, make sure to pick up your Luigi's Pizzas. But Christian Watson was obviously amazing in that game. Four catches on four targets, 89 yards, two touchdowns, explosive play after explosive play. I don't even know the question I want to ask Paul, but he is a difference maker within the offense and just what he can bring to the table.
He's been so good since he returned. I mean, we saw he got the game ball on Sunday. We saw the production, but this has been, you know, almost a pretty typical performance for him. He had 80 plus yards in his first game back against Pittsburgh, two touchdowns against the Giants. It was obviously lost in Dontavian Wicks's day against Detroit. I think he had over 80 yards or somewhere in that neighborhood in that game. Like, he has just been such a steady presence. And not to be repetitive, because I know I bring it up all the time, but just his multifaceted impact, right, on this offense as a run blocker. Fleur praises him for his ability to play all of the wide receiver positions and then being able to attack each level of the field and do so in a variety of ways. And you couple that with this combination of size and speed, and you just get a really difficult player to defend. But I think because we see the skill set, right? We see all those big plays, everything that he brings. But I think Bo Melton, and I wrote about this for State Journal earlier in the week, what he highlighted is, yes, Christian Watson has all of those traits, right, that you'd want your wide receiver to have, and it's a rare combination he possesses. But with that is a really, really hard worker, someone whose work ethic has helped him be able to maximize those traits that he has. And I think a part of the how he's been able to hit the ground running coming off of this injury is the work, right? Is everything that he does behind the scenes before getting to the game on Sunday, again, to maximize that rare skill set combination that he has.
And I can't stress enough how important it is for a team to have their top players, everyone to a T. We'll talk about Micah Parsons and the work and effort that he puts into everything. Xavier McKinney, there's the stories of the safeties, you know, getting tape from Xavier McKinney before they go and meet with their position coaches even, and how much time, effort, and energy McKinney puts into this thing. I mean, I don't know this. I haven't heard it. I mean, maybe you have, but I don't even need to see that the work that Javon Bullard and Evan Williams put into things, because you can see it manifest itself out on the field. Josh Jacobs has that mentality, and we see that out on the field as well. Jordan Love, Christian Watson, Tucker Kraft, when your best of your best players have that mentality and are your hardest workers, that has a trickle down, because if you're not one of the best players and you're not working as hard as your guys that are out there doing everything that like that, it manifests itself very quickly. And Christian is one of those guys, especially in the wide receiver room. And you just can't have enough of that. And it'll be very interesting to me to see how they go about that contract moving forward. I know they signed the 1 year already, but he's very quickly earning an extension to the extension.
Absolutely.
You mentioned Bo Melton. That was the last one I wanted to bring up. It's really remarkable what he's gone through for a journey this entire season. As soon as you draft Savion Williams and Matthew Golden, you're quickly doing the math on paper and you're like, and they signed Mecole Hardman too at the time. So you're like, all right, Christian Watson's going to come back. You've got Romeo Dobbs, Dontavian Wicks, Jaden Reed. Now they drafted two wide receivers in the first. There's your six right there. And then again, you've got Malik Heath, Mecole Hardman, which obviously didn't turn out, but at the time you had that, and you got Bo Melton. You're like, these like three of these guys at least are not going to make the team. And part of that ended up being true. Malik Heath obviously picked up by the Falcons this week. Mecole Hardman never made the team in the first place. But Bo Melton stuck around in large part because he was willing to make kind of a sacrifice in the transition to go play defensive back. We have not seen him play defensive back in a regular season game, but by all indications, they feel like he is capable of doing that if and when they ever need him to. He's a core special teamer, kick returner, punt gunner, jammer, does everything on teams. And then now when there's been injuries at wide receiver, oh, Bo, hey, we need you to move back. And he ends up with a 50 plus yard touch or whatever it was in this game. I can't stress enough the value of having a player like that on a 48 man game day roster that's basically doing three things by being your fifth corner, your ace special teams guy, and your number five or six wide receiver, whatever you need him to be. It's a pretty special trait to have.
Yeah. Go back and watch the touchdown catch in that game, and not the catch itself, like once the play is over, and watch the reaction from his teammates, and not even those, not only those who are on the field, but those who are on the sidelines. Bo Melton is beloved in that locker room. And it's obviously the, you know, his ability to contribute right in the three phases of football, but it's his work ethic. It's how he goes about his business. It's how he carries himself, and just, you know, his just willingness to just embrace on the fly. Hey, you want to go try cornerback, you know, back in the spring practices? Yeah, sure. Whatever. Like LaFleur's talked about this. He's the ultimate team player. Whatever is best for the team, Bo Melton will do. And I think just, again, the different hats that he's wearing, different sizes of the ball, it showcases that. And so he is just beloved in that locker room for who he is. And if just the, what makes Bo Melton, Bo Melton. And right now, and especially over, I think it's been about the last month or so when his offensive snaps have really started to uptick, like he's doing double duty throughout the week. I mean, in practices, he still has on his green defensive jersey, but there's a white penny, you know, that he's thrown on during some of the individual stuff to get his wide receiver reps. You know, he's still meeting additionally with both sides of the football throughout the week to just be prepared to, all right, if I have to step in on offense, here's what I got to be ready for. Same thing on the defensive side of the ball. And oh yeah, he contributes to four of the six different special teams phases as well. So just the ultimate team player. And like I said, go watch the reaction from his teammates after that touchdown. It tells you everything you need to know.
I just want to see a practice skirmish between the offense and defense to see which side he's on. That's all I need to see. If we can make it one more training camp and we get a brouhaha, I just want to see if he's choosing his offensive teammates or defensive teammates. But in seriousness, he's been really fun and cool to see him get that moment this past week. And again, it's just remarkable of how many uses he has on an active game day roster. Let's transition into Packers Broncos. I'll start, Paul, by just asking for you, what are your keys to this game as we kick off this really fun one in this AFC-NFC battle?
I mean, we kind of talked about it already, but I'm just looking at the offensive line unit for the Packers. Like, this is going to be a huge, huge test for this group. Denver, its defense as a whole ranks first in yards per carry allowed, giving up just 3.7 per game. Their pass rush is third in total pressures generated this season. So, I mean, that is where any sort of success for this Packers offense is going to begin, right? Can you generate some sort of, you know, steady production in the run game? Again, doesn't have to be 13, 14, 15 yard carries, but can you generate some positive games, 4, 5, 6 yards to stay ahead of the sticks? Because if you can't, in those predictable passing situations. A really, really good pass rush is now pinning their ears back, makes moving the ball through the air all the more difficult. Obviously, time in the pocket for Jordan Love is important. So how this offensive line unit holds up is going to be, to me, like you asked, it's the story of this game from the Green Bay Packers perspective. Again, there's things that Matt LaFleur, the coaching staff, can do to try to help out that unit, right? We might see a lot more. We already see quite a bit of Darian Kennard, but we might see more of him in this game. There's misdirections, screens, right? Trying to get the defense moving horizontally in an effort to maybe create some more spacing between the tackles to take advantage of, you know, utilizing the quick game, which could be more effective now for the Packers now that Jaden Reed is a part of the equation with his yards after the catch ability. So there's things the Packers can do to try to, you know, help out their offensive line unit in this game. But this is where it all starts and ends for me when it comes to the Packers offensive side of the ball.
The first thing I had in a similar vein was Denver's pass rush. There's two potential matchups that I'm going to be keeping a very close eye on. Rashid Walker versus Nick Benito. Benito primarily lines up at right defensive end or right outside linebacker, and would be, obviously that would match him up a lot with Rashid Walker. I think that's going to be a key matchup in this game. And then Zach Allen, maybe not quite having the season that he's had in years past, but if he gets matched up with Anthony Belton, that's another one that I'm going to be keeping a very close eye on. I think that pass rush for Denver is going to be really ready to get after Jordan Love. They know the importance of it. If you can't get to Jordan, he's an assassin in the pocket. And if you have to blitz him, as we saw this past week, he's an assassin against the blitz too. It is paramount that you get there with four and are able to cover with seven. And if you can't, it's usually going to be a long day for you. This is a bit of and I know they have Patrick Surtain. Hufanga has been great at safety. Benito and Zach Allen, Greenwood's been a really good pickup for them at linebacker. But you just, and really kind of, if you look at Denver as a whole, it's not just a defensive thing. You look at like the sort of quote unquote star power, and you're like, there's not a ton that like scares me. There's some really good players here, but the way that they are playing, as you mentioned, defensively, arguably being, if not the best, one of the top defenses in all of football. And then offensively, they're just efficient. They get the job done. Harvey can certainly do some things at running back. It's not this like group of all pros or things like that, but they just play really, really sound football. And if you don't have good attention to detail, or if you have those self-inflicted wounds, like we talked about earlier, going back to that Giants game, they will very clearly take advantage of it.
Yeah, and I was just going to jump to that point. Denver plays really, really clean football across the board. Like, and the Packers, they need to match that, because like you said, if there are those penalties, a turnover, drop, self-inflicted wounds on the Packers' part, like this is a team that has shown throughout the season that they will absolutely take advantage of that. So it's going to be incredibly important for Green Bay to have that clean performance in this game.
The other one is the Packers' interior defensive line. Both PFF and I were pretty low on the Packers defensive tackles this past week. PFF, their lowest four graded players were Wooden, Brooks, Brinson, and Riley. My three lowest were that group except Carl Brooks. I had him more as a neutral grade, but that's a group without Devontae Wyatt that just doesn't quite look the same right now. And Colby Wooden, after a really strong start, it's a lot of snaps that he's not used to, more of a rotational fifth defensive tackle guy the last couple of years. I don't know if he's starting to wear down a little bit, but you know, Quinn Miners is not an easy player to go against, former UW Whitewater guy, of course. He's a really good interior offensive lineman. This is going to be another one, especially with the way Harvey's been at running back, where that interior of the defensive line, they've got to be able to hold up at the point of attack and make sure that Denver's running game does not get going in any sort of significant way. We'll be right back. Hey friends, we've all gone through difficult times, whether it be with addiction, heartbreak, financial troubles, or hundreds of other challenging situations that get presented to us on a day-to-day basis. I know I certainly have, and if you have, just know you're not alone. And the thing is, taking care of your mental health shouldn't be harder than taking care of your physical health. If you pull a muscle, you go see a doctor. But when it comes to finding the right therapist, suddenly it's frustrating. You've got long wait lists, or you're staring down huge out-of-pocket costs. That's what usually stops people from getting help. That's where Rula comes in. Rula makes therapy simple, affordable, and fast. They work with most major insurance plans, and the average session copay is just $15. Just 15 bucks. Every therapist on the platform is licensed, vetted, and picked for their expertise, so you know you're going to talk to somebody legit, not just whoever happens to be available. And getting started could not be easier. You answer a few quick questions about what matters to you, and Rula connects you with in-network providers who actually fit your needs. You pick the time, and you could be talking to a therapist and as soon as the next day. I can't stress enough how much therapy has been a blessing in my life, and it can be in yours as well. And Rula gives you that opportunity without having to break the bank. Now, thousands of guys have already used Rula to finally get the care they've needed, so don't keep putting it off. Go to Rula.com/Packaday and get started today. That's Rula.com/Packaday. Take the first step, get connected, and take control of your mental health. Guys, it's 2025. The days of going to the doctor for emergencies are over. No more waiting until walking it off for 6 months doesn't work, or your fingers are numb from texting, "I'm fine." It's time to take our health more seriously and get things checked out when we need to. That's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc makes it easier than ever by helping to find the right doctor quickly and easily. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality, in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. You can filter for doctors who take your insurance, are located nearby, and are highly rated by verified patients. Appointments made through ZocDoc happen fast, typically within just 24 to 72 hours of booking, and more often than not, you can even get same-day appointments. I've already had family members who have used ZocDoc and loved it, and I'll absolutely be utilizing it on all my appointments from here on out. So stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/Packaday to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/Packaday. Again, ZocDoc, ZocDoc.com/Packaday.
Yeah, we talk a lot about Devontae Wyatt's ability as a pass rusher because I think that's the part of his game that leaps off the TV most, right, or the stat sheet when you're looking up his numbers. But on Monday, Matt LaFleur really praised his ability as a run defender and just how much he has grown in that aspect of his game over his career. And it's clear that the Packers know they have a lot of run-heavy opponents, right? They had Chicago, Baltimore coming up because they go out and make those two additions at the defensive tackle spot to add some size to their interior. And like Matt LaFleur said, it's not as if the Packers have, a lot of size inside before those additions. I mean, Kobe Wooden, who's maybe around the 300-pound mark, was their nose tackle this season. So they made an effort to try to get bigger inside to help out against the run game. And I know production wise, the defensive tackles, right, didn't stack up many pressures, anything like that in the Bears game. I do wonder though, if there was more of a read and react, so to speak, in terms of the passing game, right? Not wanting to let Caleb Williams be able to step up in the pocket, get through those A and B gaps up the middle. So I do wonder if that was a part of the equation at all for them in terms of the, not being able to put up production against the Bears and if that could change moving forward. But again, you don't have Devontae Wyatt in the middle. It's obviously a huge loss for this group. It's going to be a group effort, right, to overcome his absence. I think I said this last week, it's going to be other positions, right? How do you maybe get some of the defensive ends inside during obvious passing situations, blitzing from the linebackers, things of that nature to help out that group? It's going to have to continue to be all hands on deck, right, to help elevate those guys inside.
We'll see if Bohanna gets his first action later this week. Again, we're recording this on Tuesday, so who knows if there's been any additional defensive tackle transactions or things like that, but it'll be interesting to see how that defensive tackle room shakes out in this game against Denver as well. A couple last things really quick. We talked about Denver's defense and just looking at it from a statistical standpoint, Denver's defense is fourth in the league, 18.1 points per game allowed. Green Bay's is sixth at 19.0 points per allowed per game. So these are two of the top six defenses in the NFL in points allowed. This could be a defensive struggle. I'm excited to watch what Jeff Hafley has cooked up for Bo Nix in this game. We saw him just this past week against Caleb Williams. He's had some really fun sim pressures. He's had some fun plays with Micah Parsons dropping into coverage and bringing pressure these last couple weeks. I think he's going to have a couple aces up his sleeve, and I'm interested to see how Bo Nix in this offense responds to it.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff Hafley all season, right? He's done a great job of being able to mix and match and disguise coverages. And something that Hafley talked about last week and just wanted to highlight was Xavier McKinney, right? Because we all know the interception totals that he had last season, and that interception production anyways hasn't been there this year. But Hafley talked about, I think it was last week or the week prior, but either way, Hafley talked about just how important just his presence is in the middle of field because of just all the different hats, responsibilities he can wear. He's capable of providing this defense. And then the flexibility that that gives Hafley in terms of disguising coverages, plays he dials up, and putting other players in positions to go out there and make plays. So I know we don't hear McKinney's name a ton, right, throughout the, you know, throughout a specific game and the broadcast, because the interceptions, pass breakups aren't there, but his ability to do so many different things as defense has such a massive trickle down effect to how Hafley calls the game, the what he asks other defenders to do. And there's, you know, there's a reason as well that this Packers defense has been really good at not giving up explosive passing plays, because you have Xavier McKinney on the back end. One, his ability to erase those opportunities, but quarterbacks, they don't want to test Xavier McKinney on the back end because they know what he's capable of. I mean, he has been such an integral part, as we know, to what this defense does. And so I just wanted to highlight that, right? Because I mean, throughout the season, and even me in my own writing and stuff, not someone I've talked about a lot, but crucial to what this Packers defense does.
When was the last time that Xavier McKinney got a true like 50-50 ball opportunity where they threw in his direction? Like, there's been some that have been thrown in front of him where he's playing back and then he has to come up and make the tackle or whatever. I can't recall the last time that somebody like threw one deep down the field where McKinney had the ability to even range over, was in the vicinity on like a 50-50 ball. They just don't throw those sort of balls up in Xavier McKinney's direction. And when you're playing a lot of, you know, deep safety and you can get to both sides, it limits the amount of areas that you can throw to. He's a weapon, even if it's not showing up in the box score.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many plays I can just envision where you see him up on the line of scrimmage, the ball snapped, and then all of a sudden the play ends, and you're like, how did he get to that part of the field? I mean, he does so much for this defense.
Yeah, very much so. Last one, where are the Packers for you going into week 15? They've obviously are number two in the NFC, number one in the NFC North, have won 4 in a row, are 4-0 against the NFC North so far this year. Had some hiccups. Everyone knows it. Cleveland, Carolina. A game that even now looks more like they probably should have had a better opportunity to beat the Philadelphia Eagles in that game, a bizarro tie against Dallas, but playing some good football as of late. Where's this team trending right now for you?
Yeah, like I said at the beginning, I think they're absolutely trending up, right? They're trending towards playing their best football at the end of the season. And just to, I mean, their division record this year versus last, right? 4-0 versus 1-5. I think that says so much about where this team is right now, because these last two games, Detroit, Chicago, those were playoff type atmospheres, right? Type of games. One with what was on the line, you add in their divisional opponents, just how the games unfolded, the intensity coming down to the wire. And those are games that the Packers did not win last year. They're winning them right now. And so I think just from a really big picture, right, 2024 to 2025, you see the growth in this team, and not just in production or potential wins and losses, but to be able to come through with the key plays in those must-have it situations. And we've obviously seen the defense, oftentimes sparked by Micah Parsons, right, come up with those big plays. But that drive at the end of the Bears game by the Green Bay offense to go take that lead at the end of the game, I mean, that's responding, right? Like, that is stepping up and coming through. And even as the Bears had those couple scoring drives in the second half, like the Packers, you know, that Christian Watson slam for 41 yards, like the offense right now is responding. They're putting themselves in a good position, right, by getting out ahead in some of these games early on. But when things have gotten tough, great game, right, those fourth down conversions, like this team, the offense specifically, is coming through in those critical moments. And when it comes to getting to the playoffs, making a run in the playoffs, like that's what you have to do. So for Packers fans, I think that's one aspect that I would be really encouraged by. It's not just winning the games, it's winning these playoff like atmosphere type games by coming through in critical moments as well.
And as we talked about earlier, just playing a better brand of football, not shooting themselves in the foot. And they are a very, very difficult team to beat when they don't beat themselves, which has really been, when they have had issues, it's really been the kind of same situation over and over, that they just can't get out of their own way. If they don't do that, they're going to, again, be a very difficult team to beat moving forward. Elad, I have one more for you. You've got the Milwaukee Bucks hat on. Is it time to trade Giannis? Are you on the trade Giannis train? Are you on the keep him as long as possible? Where are you at?
I'm on the keep Giannis as long as possible. I think I mean, he's Giannis. I think as long as he is with the Bucks, he gives them their best opportunity to win, regardless of what that might look like. And so that's where I am at.
I'm fully in, nuke it to the ground, get as much as you possibly can for Giannis now while he still has peak trade value. I think the Giannis era of being able to win a championship, not due to Giannis, obviously, he's unbelievable, top 3-4 player in the league no matter what. That part of it sucks, but I just don't think they're going to have the ability to put the pieces together to put a team around him that's going to be successful enough to win it. And if you can't, then to me, you've got to pivot. But that'll be an interesting Wisconsin sports thread. It's not Bucks today, but I know I saw you had the Bucks hat on, so I wanted to ask you nonetheless. I can see both sides of it either way, though. Paul, I cannot thank you enough. The Packers-Broncos game is going to be a ton of fun. We'll chat through it next week and get all of your gut reactions to that. In the meantime, where can we find all of your incredible work?
I appreciate it, Andy. Follow me on Twitter at @Paul_Bredel. Find my written work at the Wisconsin State Journal. Find me on the radio waves, ESPN Lacrosse.
If you're not reading his stuff, you're doing your Packers coverage wrong. So make sure you're doing that. Follow him at @Paul_Bredel. You can find me at @AndyHermanNFL. That's going to do it for us today. But until next time, and as always, go Pack-O.